the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing the series inspired by horticulture, in this recording Dave looks at bearing good fruit. The main reading is John chapter 15.
So we're continuing our agriculture, horticulture. We're looking at unfruitfulness now. But last week we talked about harvest of course, that's the natural harvest. Always happens, always will happen, because God is in control. The harvest of our lives. Again, we are a product of what we've sown, and are reaping what we've sown in the past. And that's why we are very careful what we sow, where we sow, how we sow. Of course, the Bible then talks about, Jesus talks about the harvest, isn't he? Harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Harvest is precious, it's ready in a sense. He just needs people to rise up, pray about it, make it a priority. Those who are perishing, we are praying for people to be raised up, praying for ourselves to see opportunities. And of course, at the end of the age, there's a harvest. Of course, the harvest of judgment as well, isn't it? So there are a number of harvests in the Bible that we've locked into. Again, really want to look at our lives and our hearts and want to make sure that we are as fruitful as we can be, bearing good fruit. Of course, maybe look next week, there are bad fruits we can bear, we know that. But unfruitfulness and the causes of that, why are we not being fruitful in particular areas of our life? Why we have got areas of our life that are barren in particular characteristics, or in many areas. So again, we look at what causes that. One we've looked at a number of times over the weeks. Let's read Luke's account of that, of the sower parable from Luke 8.
Now the parable is this: a seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with their cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
So obviously, the first two soils don't produce really. First soil obviously didn't. It's stolen away. Remember, the devil steals the word, or he sows weeds. Remember, we talked about that. Shallow ground springs up, emotional. Sadly, we've seen many people who emotionally respond, but had no root, it had no effect. It didn't actually produce any fruit anyway. But here we have a particular group of people that it is producing fruit, producing to a certain amount. But the thorns of the word is to crowd in. It's interesting, isn't it? Those thorns and weeds, they take up the ground that they shouldn't. They take up nutrients and they take up the energy. And it's interesting, those distractions take up the ground that should be for the Lord. They take our energy that we should be ploughing into the kingdom, and we're ploughing into those. And so we've got to be very careful about those thorns. And some of us have got hobbies, nothing wrong with a hobby, but be careful, or things we get caught up can easily distract us and we easily get caught up. And again, thankfully, we've been in church over the years, and we've seen that happen, haven't we? We've seen people get caught up in this and caught up in that, and they've bought this and bought that. And one of the ones I always remember is people buying caravans. Nothing wrong with a caravan, of course, but of course, when you buy a caravan, you've got to use it, isn't it? Otherwise, there's money down the road. And of course, they end up, because they work, every weekend down a caravan. And of course, something that's not bad becomes bad, doesn't it? Becomes bad because that's their focus is on that, because they don't want to lose money. So that's one distraction. There are many, of course, but the worries of life, the cares of life, they take up our energy, don't they? Isn't it amazing when you're worried about something? You can't sleep. You can't sleep. You can't. And it consumes you. It consumes you. And that's what he's talking about. It suffocates you. In fact, the actual one of the words means to suffocate by drowning. And not that I've ever drowned, but I don't think that's probably one of the worst ways to go, because it isn't instantaneous, is it? You're back and forth, you're struggling for breath, but that's what it does to you. The deceitfulness of wealth, the delusion of wealth, that's another thorn. Desire for other things. Don't we desire other things? Oh, if only could I have that. If only could I have that. Easily. Oh, if I had that, everything would be wonderful. And you know what? You have it. And, okay. Yeah, perhaps it wasn't as satisfying as I thought it would be. Or our own way. Of course, all those things are thorns which make us unfruitful. So just look at our lives sometimes. Worry, cares, distractions, delusions, deceitfulness of wealth, desire for other things, not what God wants, my way, not his way. And that's why the Bible says day by day we've got to die, not once a week. It's daily, isn't it? Because there'll be an incident every day where you want to do your own thing. You want to say what you think is right and put your wife in her place, isn't it? Because she's not right, she's wrong. And the Bible says, Dave, quiet there now. Let me sort that out. And you see, that's dying daily. What are you saying there, Wendy? I don't do that. I'm improving. That's what I'm saying. I'm improving. I was the other day and Jackie said something to me and I said to Tone, Jackie, I said, oh, Tone, it's a bit sharp. And I was cut. I was just about to say something back and I thought, no, I won't reply there. I could have.
Days once a week.
That's right, yeah. Once a month, maybe. Yeah. That's right, yeah. She had that big carving knife. Yeah. You're right. But so many thorns that can make us unproductive, unfruitful. And thankfully, the Bible it points them out, doesn't it? Unfruitfulness. God wants us to be the good soil, fruitful, multiplying in his character, in shining for him, showing him. How about this one? This is back from Leviticus. You'll pick it up in Deuteronomy as well. But of course, this is again talking to the Israelites on the natural level. But again, what everything in the Old Testament, shadow of the reality of what's happening in the New Testament. Leviticus 26.
And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit.
Thankfully, the Lord was very clear with the Israelites. Even though he was very clear, they were still didn't listen to him. Isn't that amazing? Because he said, if you don't listen to me. Now, that word listen there is quite interesting, because it doesn't mean just to hear. It means not just to hear and understand. It means to hear, understand, and obey. Because many people hear, don't they? You know, if you count up, I preached hundreds, thousands of sermons. Many people have heard. And I tell you, many people have understood. And I've seen people under conviction. But today, they're not living in obedience to his word. They're not obeying what God has said. So that's, he said, look, if you're not obeying what I said, if you're not, again, the word, when we looked at last week, how to abide, when we're looking into his word, we're protecting his word, we're hedging his word, we're making sure that his word is having its effect. And not being looked down on in our own lives. So if we don't listen, if we're not obedient to what God has said, to his word, and fruitfulness, we won't bear fruit. And the heavens will seem as brass. Now be careful, because there are seasons where the Lord does that to us, and he, because he's trying to produce perseverance in us. We're thinking, well, Lord, what's happening? Why are you not listening? Why are you not answering? And the Lord says, keep pressing in, dear. Keep pressing, persevering. That's what I'm stretching you to make you stronger. Anyone who does any strength or athletics, you do it by resistance. You increase the weight. You make it heavier, so this muscle gets stronger and bigger. And so that's what God. But if we don't listen, if we're not obedient, Be very careful. Now also, Jude is talking, and Jude wanted to talk about salvation and give a great message. But of course, there were people who were distorting God's word, false teachers. And this is what he said about them, Jude 10 to 13.
But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves with fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees, those fruits withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging the waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
Amazing. I mean, Jude, of course, Jesus' brother, although he didn't say that, but we know he's Jesus' brother, but he's getting really, he's pretty clear, isn't he? Really strong about these people, these men that are on the outside, on the peripheral, looking from the superficial, but no fruit, twice dead. And of course, he shows what they are. They are blemishes on your love feast. It's an interesting word, blemish, there, because it means probably not a great interpretation on many Bibles, but it means a rock or a reef, where you know a reef does, when you go over it, you don't know what it's there, it smashes, it causes shipwreck. And that's, he said, these men could cause shipwreck among you. So be careful, watch them. Of course, what do you see in them? Way of Cain, we know what that is, anger. Prophet of Balaam, well, that's avarice, isn't it? that's where his money, the greed was more important. And the Korah's rebellion. Ambition. He wanted to be number one. And Moses said, what are you trying to do? In fact, Moses probably would have said to him, you have it. He said, I don't want it. Because a month of time he said, Lord, you've given me this rabble, haven't you? God! He said, why have you let me run? It caused nothing but trouble. It caused me nothing but... And he was getting on then as well. He didn't have much energy as a young man. But he said, look, they are twice unfruitful. And that's what it when nothing's changed inside. That's what he said about the Pharisees. Externally, fine. But there was no change. There was no revelation. There was no behavioural change. Of course, exterior, yes, but no. And that's where we've got to challenge our hearts again. Challenge our hearts. Fruit. What Jesus said, you will judge them by good fruit, good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. You will judge them. You will see by their fruits, you will recognize them. Ephesians 5, 1 to 13.
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and even himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be harmed among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness or foolish taking, nor coarse dressings, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornication, unclean person, not covetous man, who is in idolater, and any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them. 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. or it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Yes. Again, fruitfulness, fruit of the light, fruit of the darkness. He begins, and it's, again, you think, well, is he right into Christians and non-Christians there? Because he's listing out some sins there. You think, dear me, can't happen in the church. But yeah, it is, because, again, as we said before, people can come and profess, but the devil, remember, he sows weeds, and the people, and I'm just, again, just talking the other day, and I'm just shocked at what people who say they're saved and then look at their lives and what they're doing and what's happening and thinking, okay. Then very clear, he said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of unfruitful works of darkness. Now, in a sense, they are not unfruitful because they do produce a fruit, but it's evil, it's bad. But he's talking about the unfruitfulness is not fruitful in the kingdom. It's not going to be any benefit or showing Jesus. And thankfully, he tells us now, he said, be careful, imitate God, mimic God. Now, and then he says, walk. That's, of course, when we talk about walk, that's the whole essence of your life, what you're doing. Walk in love and walk as children of the light. The Bible says he shone his light into our hearts. So he's exposed our sin, exposed all the secret places. That's what light does, isn't it? Exposes the dirt in the corners of the room, and now we've become light because he is the light. He's put his light in us, and the Bible says now you are children of light. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, you are salt and you are light to show, to share, to expose sometimes, isn't it? Because he says there, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. In fact, he says, be careful you don't, you know, talk about it too much because it soils it. I do pray for those policemen who have to trawl through those images of paedophilia. I think I couldn't do it. And it must so distort and twist your mind because, I wouldn't even talk about it because it's so filthy. You just don't know how a mind can work. Absolutely dreadful. But they've got to trawl through all that, haven't they? And you say, and he says, I have nothing to do with it, but expose it. And the word expose means to convict and convince it. Our job is to show people they need Jesus. And sometimes we've got to say, look, you're a sinner, he's the saviour. Sometimes we've said, oh, you just believe. Well, what are you believing? You've got to, it's more than believing, isn't it? You've got to understand why you're believing. And if you don't understand, great Wesley said, look, preach the law first. Because when you preach the law, they realise they're sinners. We don't know the law. Paul said himself, I didn't realize how bad it was until the law said, do not covet. And I thought, oh, there's my problem. He had many things, but that's the one he pinpointed. His problem was coveting. And really, that lust after other things, wouldn't it? And until he said, no, he said, then, once I realized, I thought, I need a savior. I need, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in him. So he's talking about the unfruitful work. Thankfully, again, he drops in fruit of light. Okay, that's first. What is that? What's that? Fruit of light is goodness, righteousness, truth. Next word, the fruit of righteousness, fruit of light, also, verse 10, is to please him. See, that's a wonderful fruit, isn't it? Colossians, when we read it the other day, I pray that you'll know him more, that you'll be fruitful, and you will please him. Oh, bless the Lord. You know, we've all got kids, and of course, we love our kids. But we want them to please us as well, don't we? As they've grown up, dear me, they did some stupid things. Did we love them any less? Of course we didn't. But we certainly weren't pleased with them, were we? Because it was stupid. And I wonder sometimes, the Lord, he loves us, of course, doesn't he? Can't alter that. He showed it, proved it. But dear me, I wonder if he says, dear. As he said to the disciples, you boys, you're dull, aren't you? You're dull sometimes. And we are. But thankfully, again, that's why the word comes and says, be careful. Darkness, have nothing to do with the darkness, and he shows what it is, shows what it produces, but let the light, and then of course the light, of course the word himself, the Holy Spirit comes and shines. So the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Careful with that. Diligence, dependence upon him. We've read these verses again. Good to meditate on these. It always stirs my heart, these particular scriptures. 2 Peter 1.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, also apply all diligence in your faith, supplying moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about this calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Or in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you.
Peter said, look, you know this, and everyone, we read that, we know that. But he said, I will keep reminding you because I want you to keep being diligent and being dependent and growing in him. And the Bible says he's given us everything we need. He's put his life in us. Holy Spirit, oh, we need to be filled. We'll talk about that in a minute. Filled, yes, day by day by day by day. So we are growing, we're adding, and we're learning, we're looking. Now that takes, that's not automatic, is it? Because we've got to then now use discipline. That means we have to open up the word and read. And then we think, I'll just read it, it's good to read. Then we think, what does that mean over there? Yeah. And we begin to study God's word. Say, well, what does that word mean? And thankfully today, there's no excuse because you can have different commentaries, but you can also do plug it in to your computer, isn't it? Google. Be careful where you look. Bible Hub is not bad, and others you can find many others, and say, well, what does this mean by here? And you can find out that actually it means more than you thought, because remember, it's written in context, it's written to particular people. If you think, and you look at the background of that people, or the culture they lived in, and then you think, oh, no wonder he's talking about that. That's why he talked in Corinth about, because it was a it was a port city, and goodness knows what was going on there. And he tells them, look, it's still in the church, this immorality, get it out. He said, I know it's your culture, but he said, you've got to change. And now he says, look, you've got to grow in him. Work out that which Christ has worked in you. He said, if these qualities are increasing, you will not be useless, barren, idle, and you will not be unfruitful, unproductive in your knowledge of him. But if you were lacking, if you were dropping off, if you are not increasing in these, he said, you haven't seen clearly, you haven't seen correctly. And you see that the bottom line, he says, is this: you've forgotten, which means then as a choice, because you've taken forgetfulness, that you've been forgiven from your sins. What will stir anyone's heart, what will stir your heart, is to remind yourself who you were and who you are now. Your sin left there, you'd be separated from God forever. But because he's forgiven you, you are now a child of God on your way to heaven. And when you remind yourself, not forgetting that, and easy to forget that, because some of us, again, have been in church a long time, and familiarity, isn't it? Familiarity with the gospel. And I was just reading, Spurgeon said, and a chap came to say, oh, I preach the gospel. He said, do you believe that the gospel can change someone's life every time you preach it? And he was honest. He said, well, don't. He said, well, that's why. He said, you've lost the wonder and the awe of the gospel, that you can be forgiven and saved and redeemed. And if we forget that, we won't be diligent. We will be lazy. And of course, we looked at that the other day with the Proverbs, and he went to the lazy man, looked at his life, looked at his vineyard, and goodness knows, overgrown. Everything was in a shambles. Why? Because diligence and laziness, very, very, because he hadn't seen correctly. Titus 3:13-14.
Do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives.
Unfruitfulness is when we see a need and we don't meet it. Now that's learned sometimes, because sometimes we don't see a need. Sometimes we don't want to see the need, but that's a different thing. But that's why he said our people need to learn. Chapter before, Titus, he says, look, you need to be zealous for this. You need to be, this is your passion, showing Jesus, doing good works. Again, that's, we do good works because we are saved, not to become saved, but because we are saved. And out of that, Jesus did it, didn't he? He went around, and he didn't mind taking time out of his schedule. He had a short 3-year schedule to minister, but it's amazing when people called on him, the Bible uses that word, he stopped. Now he had places to go, people to see, but he had time. Why? Because he was doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Why? Because he was anointed. So good deeds keeps us from being unfruitful. Because when we do a good deed, again, motivation, what did Matthew say? Be careful, your right hand don't know what your left hand's doing. As a show, he said, but when you meet the need. Yeah, you see someone need a couple of bob, give them a couple of bob. You see someone needs a hand there, give them. Well, we all got different things. Some of us can cook. Some of us can't, some of us can, and all things we can do, and if we see a need, keep our eyes open, learn, and make it our passion, so we will not be unfruitful, because the Bible says when people see that, why are they interested? Why are they, and they know they can't do anything back, it's just because we know Jesus. So that's the causes of unfruitfulness. Another one, which all our next verses are all about, to be fruitful, of course, we talked about the ground, and we talked about weeding, good seed, good soil, but also the main thing that we need is water. Of course, water. No water, no crops. Although we don't never have a lack of that, do we, in our country, although we have a few weeks of without rain, and then they call a drought. I don't know why that is, because they know in a few weeks' time we'll have more rain, then they'll keep us going for that. But water. Now, be careful now, because there is good water and bad water in the Word, because we want living water. Hallelujah. Let's read that. 2 Kings 2.
The men of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town was well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw in the salt, saying, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken.
There was water there, but it wasn't good water. Back, and it's interesting, if you go back to Exodus 15, remember the water, this water's bitter. Give me some wood. Again, always symbols of the cross, the wood, the cross to go into the water, submerged, had to be consumed, and it was sweet. And that word heal there, same word here, I think Elisha, because he knew God's word, of course, this was his first miracle. We know he did twice as many miracles as Elijah because he had double anointing, double portion. But here was his first miracle. This bitter water, it's a great place, the house, obviously a school of prophets there, good place, but this water's making, and he's making everything unproductive. Where do we get our water from? Where do we get our hydration from, spiritually? Where do we get our water from? And he said, this is bad news. So bring me in, first thing, new bowl, never been used before. It is specifically for this purpose, hallelujah, sanctified. And let's put salt in it. Did the salt do the work? No. Oh, yes. No, it was a sign, it was a symbol, because the Bible says Elisha spoke the word of the Lord, and the Bible says there in 22, this has remained wholesome to this day because according to the word of Elisha. It was a symbol. Salt, we know what salt does, purifies, fertilizes, produces growth, where it is good growth. But also, in the Old Testament, it's always a sign, isn't it? Covenant of salt. It accompanied some of the sacrifices. It represented God's faithfulness, his covenant faithfulness. And see, when God is faithful, he protects and he provides. And he said, when we speak, when we allow the word of the Lord in, that which is bad, that which is evil, produces fruit. Bible says, Lazarus, open the grave. Can't, he's 4 days dead, he stinketh. I like that version, he stinketh. Open it up. Open it up, and we've talked about that before, haven't we? Some areas of our life stink. They really do. Open it up. And what happens? Jesus spoke. The Bible says Jesus spoke. And when Jesus spoke, Lazarus came out. When that death encountered the word of the Lord, what happened? Life came. Life. That which stinketh smelt lovely. And that those areas of our life that stinketh, he wants them to smell like roses. Why? How do we do that? Allowing God's word in. Elisha spoke. Salt was the sign. Whether there was any chemical reaction, in heaven we'll know. But ultimately, he spoke the word. And he had faith that God would do his work. So again, our word, the word, the waters. Make sure we drink. We drink from him. Because we can drink from other things. Jeremiah 2.
Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? For my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Well, that's very clear, isn't it? He said, here we are, and if you go back to verse 7 there, that's an interesting one, because he said, I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit, rich produce, but you came and you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. So careful, God has given us fruitfulness. He said, you have the ability, in fact, it's your nature to produce fruit. Don't louse it up. Don't louse it up. And he said, how did they louse it up? He says very clearly, doesn't he? He said, they have forsaken me, and because they've forsaken me and gone after other gods, of course, that's what he's saying, and because we have it innate, something in us that needs to worship, needs to look to something or somebody, they built cisterns, broken cisterns that held dirty, rotten water, and in fact couldn't hold any water at all. So he said, be careful, you do not drink from water that you have collected yourself, drink from this living water. Out of the wells of salvation will you draw water. Bless the Lord. You have these two verses with Jesus speaking, of course, John 4, and then we'll take John 7. And John 4, 7 to 13.
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Living water, Jesus, come to him, gives it. Then he comes to John 7.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
So again, both living water, him, Holy Spirit, living water takes the seed that we ploughed into our lives, word of God, and brings the water to make it productive. Of course, John 4, whoever drinks, simple, undefined action, one time, will never thirst, definitely not, but have this spring, well, fountain, that will leap up to eternal life, salvation, of course. John 7, slightly different, because he says, anyone who comes and thirsts and drinks continuously, that's a continuous tense, it's always going on, will not just have that well, but have rivers. Oh, rivers, not just in us, but flowing from us to those around us. And that's what God longs to do in us, put water in us to feed that, but also to flood our lives, to flood our lives, to flood those around those for us. So that he is Holy Spirit, water of life. He is the giver and the possessor of, and that's what he wants. This last two verses, Joel 2.
Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. Trees are bearing their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you. The autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. Vats will overflow with new wine and oil.
There we are. Rain from heaven. Yeah. I'm saying showers from heaven. Then they used to sing, send the fire. And someone said, make it mine up. They were fire or shower. We're on both, don't we? We're on both. Showers, yes. Early and latter rain, he said. And in fact, he starts off, and of course, he's talking about the destruction of their lives and the reaping of that, because he talks about the locusts. But thankfully, he starts off, be not afraid, be glad. Surely the Lord has done great things. He is good. He can take barrenness and make fruitfulness out of it if we'll open up our lives to him. And he said, he'll send the rain, autumn rain, the spring rain, autumn rains, that's when the harvest was just about to come, either or, first harvest, exactly, we looked at the harvest last week, and then flourishing, they will fill grain, fruit, oil, and all those things, because he, if we allow the water from heaven, and of course, he ends up in the last chapter of Revelation with what's going to happen, but again, that's the fulfillment we're in the foretaste. Remember, God is still pouring out the water into our lives if we will but drink of him. Here's heaven and the city of the Lord, Revelation 22.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall there be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Yeah.
And there shall be no night there, and no need to cradle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Amen. River of life, water of life that brings everlasting life, of course, there. Thankfully, again in verse 17, he says, anyone who would come and take, and many who was thirsty, let him, whosoever, let him come and drink. Bless the Lord. Whosoever. So this tonight, God wants to make us fruitful, so be careful of those dangers that make us unfruitful, and allow him pour in the water of life. Come and drink, be thirsty. Again, it talks about passion, discipline, diligence, isn't it? Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.